This is The Wealthy Bookheads, where we interview important books that can change your life. I'll ask the questions, and I'll let the book do the talking using words from its own pages. This is essentially a book interview. Your time is valuable, so let's get started. Today, I'll be interviewing The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, How to Stay Emotionally Healthy and Spiritually Alive in the Chaos of the Modern World by John Mark Comer. It currently has an overall rating of 4.8 on Amazon, and 85% of the reviewers call it a 5-star book. Question number one, what's the book about? Answer, a growing number of voices are pointing at hurry or busyness as a root of much evil. The author claims that the solution is to model the lifestyle of Jesus of Nazareth. Within the pages of this book, you'll find a fascinating roadmap to staying emotionally healthy and spiritually alive in the chaos of the modern world. Question. You make a provocative statement in the book that hurry is not only bad for us and for society, it's anti-Christian. Can you explain what you mean? Answer. It's said that if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. There's truth in that. Both sin and busyness have the exact same effect. They cut off your connection to God, to other people, and even to your own soul. The famous psychologist Carl Jung had this little saying, "Hurry is not of the devil, hurry is the devil." The new speed of life isn't Christian, it's anti-Christian. Think about it. What has the highest value in Christ's message? That's an easy one. Love. Jesus made that crystal clear. He said that the greatest command was to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, followed only by love your neighbor as yourself. But love is painfully time-consuming. Hurry and love are incompatible. All of my worst moments as a father, a husband, and a pastor, even as a human being, are when I'm in a hurry, late for an appointment, behind on an unrealistic to-do list, trying to cram too much into one day. Hurry and love are incompatible. Question. And in the book, you write that psychologists are now saying that too much hurry can actually be a sickness. What is it? And what are some of the symptoms of it? Answer. Psychologists and mental health professionals are now labeling hurry sickness as a disease. Here's one definition. A behavioral pattern characterized by continual rushing and anxiousness. Check the following list to see if any symptom rings true for you. 1. Restlessness. When you actually do try to slow down and rest, you can't relax. 2. Workaholism, or just nonstop activity. You just don't know when to stop, or worse, you can't stop. Result, you fall prey to sunset fatigue, where by day's end, you have nothing left to give to your spouse, children, or loved ones. They get the grouchy, curt, overtired you, and it's not pretty. 3. Emotional numbness. You just don't have the capacity to feel another's pain. 4. Out of order priorities. You feel disconnected from your identity and your calling. You're busier than ever, yet you still feel like you don't have time for what really matters to you. 5. Lack of care for your body. You don't have time for the basics. 8 hours of sleep at night, daily exercise, healthy home-cooked food, minimal stimulants, etc. 6. Escapist behaviors. When we're too tired to do what's actually life-giving for our souls, we each turn to our distraction of choice. Overeating, overdrinking, binge-watching Netflix, browsing social media, surfing the web, looking at porn. Just name your own cultural narcotic. 7. Slippage of spiritual disciplines. If you're anything like me, when you get overly busy, the things that are truly life-giving for your soul are the first to go, rather than your first go-to, such as quiet time in the morning, scriptures, prayer, Sabbath, worship on Sundays, a meal with your community, and so on. The point I'm driving toward is this. An overly busy, hurried life of speed is the new normal in the Western world, and it's toxic. Hurry is a threat not only to our emotional health, but to our spiritual lives as well. Question. Regarding the slippage of spiritual disciplines, you make the case that distraction in modern society also plays a big part in this trend. How so? Answer. The main limitation we all share is time. We just don't have enough time. But can you guess how much time the average American spends on social media each year? The number is 705 hours. TV, 2,737 hours. And a recent study found that the average iPhone user touches his or her phone 2,617 times a day. Each user is on his or her phone for 2.5 hours a day for 76 sessions. What else could we give thousands of hours of our year to? We're distracting ourselves into spiritual oblivion. It's not that we have anything against God, depth, or spirit. We would like these. It's just that we are habitually too preoccupied to have any of these show up on our radar screens. We are more busy than bad. We're more distracted than non-spiritual. We're more interested in the movie theater, the sports stadium, the shopping mall, and the fantasy life they produce in us than we are in spirituality. Pathological busyness, distraction, and restlessness are major blocks today within our spiritual lives. Question. And since these major blocks are so pervasive in our lives, the million-dollar question is, what can we do about them? Answer. The solution to an overbusy life is not more time. Is to slow down and simplify our lives around what really matters. For me, Jesus remains the most brilliant, most insightful, most thought-provoking teacher to ever walk the earth. We read stories of Jesus, his joy, his resolute peace through uncertainty, his unanxious presence, his relaxed manner, and how in the moment he was, and we think, I want that life. But if you want to experience the life of Jesus, you have to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. Your life is the byproduct of your lifestyle. By life, I mean your experience of the human condition. And by lifestyle, I mean the rhythms and routines that make up your day-to-day existence. Question. So let's talk about the lifestyle of Jesus. You say he was never in a hurry, even though he had an extremely packed schedule. Can you elaborate? Answer. If there's anything you pick up from reading the four Gospels, it's that Jesus was rarely in a hurry. Jesus' schedule was full, to the brim at times, in a good way. Yet he never came off hurried. This rootedness in the moment and connectedness to God, other people, and himself, they weren't the byproducts of a laid-back personality or a pre-Wi-Fi world. They were the outgrowths of a way of life. In story after story, Jesus put on a display of a whole new way to be human. There's this one story where Jesus' friend Lazarus was sick. By friend, I mean close friend. And by sick, I mean about to die sick. But when Jesus got the life or death message, we read this odd line. When he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." Not exactly in a hurry, was he? And his friend's life hung in the balance. We see that Jesus lived an unhurried life, where space for God and love for other people were his top priorities. And because he said yes to what mattered most, he constantly said no to countless other invitations. Question. So let's drill deeper into this lifestyle he put on display. You list 4 spiritual disciplines to be less hurried and to model the life of Jesus in the modern age. The first, you say, is the most important of them all. What is it exactly? Answer. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He frequently got away. He made a point to sneak off on a regular basis. It was a common habit in his repertoire. The busier and more in demand and famous Jesus became, the more he withdrew to his quiet place to pray. Think about this. Jesus needed time in his quiet place to pray. I repeat, Jesus needed time, and a fair bit of it. Through the years, this practice of Jesus has come to be called silence and solitude. If you don't set aside time to be alone with God, your relationship will wither on the vine. This just makes sense. Your relationship with God is no different than any other relationship. It takes time alone together. I practice a quiet time every day. I wouldn't miss it for the world. It's usually the best part of my day, hands down, and I'm not even a morning person. I say we bring back the quiet time. Here's to tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock, coffee, the chair by the window by the tree. You can just take a little time each day to be alone in the quiet with yourself and God. Practice silence and solitude, like Jesus did. Question. So we can model the lifestyle of Jesus with daily quiet time. What's the second spiritual discipline that Jesus practiced throughout his life? Answer. The second discipline is the Sabbath. It's the primary discipline or practice by which we cultivate the spirit of restfulness in our lives as a whole. The word Sabbath comes to us from the Hebrew word Shabbat. The word literally means to stop. The Sabbath is like a governor on the speed of life. All week long, we work, we inhabit the modern world, but we finally hit a limit. On the Sabbath, we slow down. More than that, we come to a full stop. So what do we do? If you're new to the Sabbath, a question to give shape to your practice is this. What could I do for 24 hours that would fill my soul with a deep throbbing joy? It's the holy time where we can feast, play, dance, have sex, sing, pray, laugh, tell stories, read, paint, walk, and watch television in its fullness. But the thing is, it won't just happen. The Sabbath is really hard for a lot of us. It takes a lot of intentionality. It takes planning and preparation. It takes self-control, the capacity to say no to a list of good things so you can say yes to the best. If you aren't practicing the Sabbath, you're missing out on the best day of the week, bar none. The Sabbath is the day I feel most connected to God, most connected to my wife and family, to my own soul. It's the day I feel most awake and yet most at peace. The day I expect joy, the day that sets the tone for my entire week. The Sabbath is when it feels like my soul catches up to my body. Question. So Jesus practiced solitude daily, observed the Sabbath weekly, but he also managed to maintain a mindset that you call simplicity, the third spiritual discipline of Jesus. What is it, and what are the 6 core ideas to practice it? Answer. Simplicity is a practice from the life and teachings of Jesus to break free of the soul-draining habits of materialism. This practice goes by a few other names: simple living, frugality, and minimalism. I use simplicity and minimalism interchangeably. Jesus clearly sided with minimalism over materialism. You simply cannot live the freedom way of Jesus and get sucked into the overconsumption that is normal in our society. The two are mutually exclusive. You have to pick. Here are some principles to do so in our modern world. 1. Before you buy something, ask yourself, what is the true cost of it? Think about what it will cost to clean, repair, maintain, insure, finance, etc. this item. It's more than just a ticket price. How often will I use it? Will it add value to my life? 2. Never impulse buy. It's amazing that when I exercise self-control and don't buy an item, often the desire just quickly passes. 3. When you do buy, opt for fewer, better things. Remember, the world is constantly asking, how do I get more? But the apprentice of Jesus is regularly found asking, how can I live with less? 4. Get into the habit of giving things away. When I first got into minimalism, my favorite part was giving away things I didn't need to people who could actually use them. 5. learned to enjoy things without owning them. I deeply enjoy the park down the street from my house, and I also enjoy our free local library and the books I get from it. 6. Cultivate a deep appreciation for the simple pleasures. The older I get, the more I enjoy the simple things. These experiences usually cost very little, yet they pay huge dividends of happiness. The point of it all is to lead a cheerful, happy revolt against the spirit of materialism. As a matter of fact, it was said of Saint Francis and his band of followers that they did exactly this. They led a revolt against materialism, and they saw the spreading of Jesus' message of simplicity as one and the same with spreading his message of joy. Question. So in terms of spiritual disciplines, Jesus spent time alone, observed the Sabbath, and lived a minimalist lifestyle. What's the last practice of his life? Answer. The fourth spiritual practice is just slowing. There's more to life than an increase in speed. We must ruthlessly eliminate hurry, and the ideas that follow can help you slow down. Every single rule here is life-giving for me, even fun. So here we go. Drive the speed limit. Drive in the slow lane. Come to a full stop at stop signs. Show up 10 minutes early for an appointment. Get in the longest checkout line at the grocery store. Take email off your phone. Take all social media off your phone and transfer it to a desktop. Delete all notifications, including those for texts. Ditch news apps, or at least news alerts. They are the devil. Set your phone to grayscale mode. Set times for checking email. Set a time and a time limit for social media if it's still on your phone. Kill your TV. Single task. Walk slower. Take up journaling. Experiment with mindfulness and meditation. If you can, take long vacations. These are just ideas. They may not be right for you. Come up with your own list, but do come up with a list. These rules have just been floating around in the back of my head, so I sat down and put them into writing. You should do the same. Question. What do you say to people who don't want that kind of structure in their lives, and so they naturally resist these rules and the spiritual disciplines of Jesus? Answer. Well, I personally like rules. There, I said it. I like to have a plan and for everything. I literally sit down before my day off and plan it out hour by hour. Mock me all you want, but I normally have a really good day off. I'm old enough and hopefully wise enough to know my personality and laugh about it, living in a way that works for me. I've also started to notice that anti-rule people are often anti-schedule people, and anti-schedule people frequently live in a way that is reactive, not proactive, as more passenger than driver, consumer than creator. Life happens to them more than through them. To follow the life of Jesus, we should model his spiritual practices. We achieve inner peace when our schedules are aligned with our values. Jesus didn't command us to do these things, these practices. He just did them, and then he said, "Follow me." Question. And that may be a good segue to end this interview. Do you have any final words for people who feel hurried and want a more spiritual life? Answer. Whatever you call them, these habits, practices, or spiritual disciplines are how we follow Jesus, how we adopt his lifestyle, how we create space for emotional health and spiritual life. And like all habits, they are a means to an end. The end isn't silence and solitude. It's to come back to God and our true selves. It isn't the Sabbath. It's a restful, grateful life of ease, appreciation, wonder, and worship. It isn't simplicity. It's freedom and focus on what matters most. It isn't even slowing. It's to be present to God, to people, to the moment. And finally, my favorite quotes from the book are as follows. this new speed of life isn't Christian, it's Antichrist. Hurry and love are incompatible. If there's anything we can pick up from the four Gospels, it's that Jesus was rarely in a hurry. Your relationship to God is no different than any other relationship. It takes time alone together. The Sabbath is like a governor on the speed of life. You simply can't live the freedom way of Jesus and get sucked into the overconsumption that is normal in our society. If you want to experience the life of Jesus, you have to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. And that's it for this book interview with The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, How to Stay Emotionally Healthy and Spiritually Alive in the Chaos of the Modern World by John Mark Comer. You've been listening to The Wealthy Bookheads, where we interview important books that can change your life. You can order this book in the links below or on our website if you'd like to help our cause. It puts a few pennies in our pockets without taking any extra pennies from yours. As always, thank you for your time.